you're going to do that, I'll record myself so I can hear the recording of your recording. Again, the name spelled, we're up here in Rhode Island. We're using TS-830 with RF speech processing on top of external processing. I'll turn the RF processor off. Now we just have the normal external processing, a little box I made, and we'll put the RF speech processor back in. Now it's back in. And again, Bill, you're coming up here very nicely. Alpha Kilo 5, Whiskey Bravo, W1, ZY.
Very good, William. Okay, here we go. Let's try this time. Next time I push the wrong button.
All right, maybe we'll do it again. I'm going to put up a recorder. If you're going to do that, I'll record myself so I can hear the recording of your recording. Again, the name spelled, we're up here in Rhode Island. We're using TS-830. With RF speech processing on top of external processing, I'll turn the RF processor on. Now we just have the normal external processing, a little box I made, and we'll put the RF speech processor back in. Now it's back in. And again, Bill, you're coming up here very nicely. Alpha Kilo 5, Whiskey Bravo, W1. Oh man, that is awesome. That sounds good. I'm going to turn the RF down just a wee bit. That's awesome. I really appreciate that, Bill. It really tells me I got the thing dialed in pretty good. Over.
Yeah, you're doing it. If you can look at your signal, it's like a vertical wall. There's no superior, there's no harmonics on the outside of your total boxed in into your, yeah, I mean, it's a perfect picture. Over.
Oh, and is it all lit up, as they say?
It's all lit up. And it's a perfect square, a rectangle going up and down my waterfall, and no harmonics out of it.
Oh man, that's awesome. That's really gratifying to hear, because I fixed this rig and then I aligned it, so I'm really happy to hear that. I worked really hard on getting the alignment right. I think I have a little bit of carrier. I can hear it on a TS-520 that I monitor myself on, but I appreciate that. A beautiful recording, and I got a recording of you, and everybody's got a recording now. Excellent. And what is your antenna down there, Bill? Tell me again if you told me already. I just went out my ear. Over.
My antenna is a stepper. It's called the DB18E. If you look on QRZ, I built it maybe two and a half years ago, and there's some photos of the construction of the tower and the antenna, and then of my radio shack there. Over.
Alrighty, very good. And what kind of is it? A rotatable antenna?
QSL. It looks like a butterfly up there. Basically, it's three antennas that loop back. Look like a butterfly wing, and the way the steppers work is it runs an aerial in and out of the tube, and it changes the length to correspond to the frequencies, and there's three of them, the trombones, they call them, and it's about 50 feet up on the rotator. Over.
Oh, is that one of those, it looks like a trombone. It's got the, I was wondering how do those work. They have like a piece of, do they have tape or something going through it that changes? They vary the length or something of the conducting element, the beryllium or whatever they're using that goes through those tubes, Bill, over?
Yeah, QSL, it's basically, there's three motors on there, one for trombone, and what it does is it sends out two tapes on the left side and right side of the trombone, and, or actually it's just one side, I think, and then what it does is just chips it up and down this hollow tube, Roger.
Okay, and then when you go in a different band, it reels out different lengths of tape?
Roger, and then... And then it's a beam because you got three elements and I think four on 60. So what you can do is you can, depending on how you resonate, you can make it more focused or wide. And then at a switch of a button, you can go 180 degrees out of phase. Just flip the antenna around.
Well, that's cool. And why are they curved? Does the tape go around or something like that? It becomes like a folded dipole at one point or something?
Well, basically, the electrical signal don't know if it's straight or curved, so it's just to save space.
Oh, cool. It strengthens it, I guess. That's really neat. Hey, let me flip my antenna directivity on you. I'm just curious to see if you're seeing any difference stateside. I'm going to flip the phase on these two verticals to the northeast. Stand by. This is now looking up towards the northeast at 60 degrees true north, or off of true north, not magnetic north. and this is back down at about 240 to the southwest. Is that making much difference under these conditions, Bill? Over.
So originally you're like 15 over, then you dropped down and you went north. You went to about 7, 8, somewhere between lower than 9, and now you're back to 15 over. Over.
All right, very good. I appreciate that. I have a, in this 830, I've been fixing it, Bill, like I've been saying, and the relay, there's a big relay in there for tripping a bunch of stuff for go transmit to receive, and it crapped out. One of the contacts crapped out on me. So I have a second relay in there. It's like a bypass surgery temporarily because I have, I got another relay coming in. I'm going to install it, replace it. But I could hear it when I switch back and forth. I can hear some scratching sound. It sounds like a dirt, like it's got dirty contacts in it, basically. But I hope it doesn't crap out on me tonight. Anyway, you're sounding great up here, and that Ingenious antenna is working very nicely. And I appreciate you spending the time with me tonight. Alpha Kilo 5 Whiskey Bravo, you're 1520 over W1 ZY.
Yeah, very good, William. W1 ZY, you got a great station there. Let me just give you some. If you go look at my QRZ, you'll see my my profiles. My radio is a flex radio, it's all digital, and I use computers. And my power is OM amplifier, it's a 2500A, and everything's automatic. So you basically turn the frequency, the amp turns, the antenna turns, and all that stuff just resonates as you flip through these frequencies. Over.
All right, that sounds incredible. And this tower that you put up, because I'm looking at your tower pictures, those great photographs, that thing is brand new, man. Is that self-supporting? Is it guided at all?
No, it's self-supporting. It's 50 foot, which is kind of dumb here in Texas because you get these hurricanes. But so I went and got me some Hays insurance, and it's all replaceable at $50. Over.
All right, great. And is it bracketed to the house?
Negative. It's if you look at the bottom, one of the pictures is a 6x6 deep hole, and it's pretty much just one chunk of concrete. Over.
All right. Well, yeah, that looks nice. I'm looking at it right now. I see the final pictures. Nice ranch you got down there, Bill. Over.
Yeah, that's how I had to be able to get my antenna up. Everything was HOA'd, infested. So I had to come out to the country. This is like 2.5 acres where I can do what I want. Over.
Awesome, and you're also using a iMac, I see, as do I, and you got a nice console there. Looks like you could trade on the stock market with that computer setup, Bill. Over.
USL, this is my just in my command post.
Damn right, and that's a nice man cave you got. That's a big one.
Yeah, it's, I need to update my photos. Now I have six screens up. Before I think it was only three, so I've upgraded.
And what do people think if you guys are, you and your wife, I assume, if you guys are having a dinner party and the guys go into that room, what do they think when they see all six monitors up?
It's like you said, it's the man cave. It's like I got a little kitchen area. I got my own bedroom if I wanted to crash up here, my own bathroom, and that's far away from my wife that she has to call me by phone. Over.
Oh, yeah, you're living the life of Riley, man. The wife has got to call you on the phone.
QSL, and then not only that, I have my own, she has her balcony, and I have my balcony. My balcony overlooks the pool area, and my deal is on top of the garage, and I have a big stairway that goes into the garage, so actually I can just bypass the whole system with it.
Oh my God, that's great that you were able to pull that off. But at the same time, that's a nice house, and you got it going down there, and you got everything the way it should be. That's amazing. So congratulations on that. The Flex, of course, sounds beautiful, and very clean audio, and very no QSB on your signal on this path. Incredible. Thank you for the contact, and just great to hear that recording. Alpha Kilo 5, Whiskey Bravo, W1 said what?
All right, William, you take care. It's a pleasure talking to you. Look forward to talking to you again, and I'm going to put you on the network so people overseas can see you out there. You guys have fun, and look forward to seeing you in the future. Let's see, where I write that down. W1ZY, AK5WB. Bye-bye.
All right, 73s. Thank you again. W1ZY, looking southwest. Looking up to the northeast now, W1 Zulu.
Yankee, W1ZY, checking out propagation out to Europe, standing by.
Kilo 9, Alpha, Bravo, Lima.
Kilo
9, Alpha, Bravo, Lima, was reading your mail. You're 5 and 9 plus, great signal, great audio, thank you.
Oh, okay. Kilo 9, Alpha, Bravo, Lima, W1ZY. I don't have to repeat it if you've been reading the mail, but you're 59 into Rhode Island. A nice signal, over.
Nice to copy tonight. Having good fun. Just taking a few minutes before it's time to give up the day. Thank you very much. David from Louisville. See ya.
All right, David. We've talked to you many times. 73, thanks for the audio comment. W1ZY. The mobile station? You're mobile in Ohio, but that's all I got. Your readability about a 3 to 4 and signal strength about a 6 or 7 into Rhode Island, southern Rhode Island. And my name's Bill. Bravo, India, Lima, Lima. Over. All right, 73. So whoever you are, W1 said what?
Kilo Delta.
Alpha Delta 4. Whiskey Golf.
All right, many Americans calling. Alpha Delta 4, Whiskey Golf. Go ahead, over.
Yeah, roger, Bill. I just wanted to swing in here and compliment you once again on the beautiful station you've got. It sounds like you're standing right here in the room with me here in northeastern Kentucky. I just wanted to say I tend to listen to you on my mobile station to kind of use it as a benchmark on whether or not I'm receiving well or not. Go ahead.
Oh, that's really nice. you're 59, you're about 10 over 9. Pat, yeah, I listened to that recording that Bill made, and I was, like, shocked. It does have, it seems like it has good articulation. There's a little bit of distortion from the RF processing, but it roughens it up a little bit. So I'm happy with it. I'm surprised. I just got to wait until the 9-volt battery in my little external processor starts to fade, and then the audio will go down to HI. You're 10 over 9, up at Alpha Delta 4 Whiskey Golf, W1 said what?
Roger, Bill. I won't keep you. Just wanted to drop in and throw you a compliment. W1ZY from Alpha Delta 4 Whiskey Golf, 73.
73, thank you.
Kilo Delta 8, India Kilo.
Kilo Delta 8, India Kilo, about a 5859 on that short transmission, over.
Roger, Bill. KD8IK, name's Larry, Lima Alpha Romeo, Romeo Yankee. Can you give me the call for the fellow down in Texas you were working earlier?
Yeah, by the way, Larry, you're 5 to 10 over. Your signal came right up. His call was Kilo Alpha Kilo 5 Whiskey Bravo.
Give it one more time, please.
Alpha Kilo 5 Whiskey Bravo.
Okay, roger. Okay, well, you're about 20 over. We're located in West Virginia, Parkersburg, about 100 miles southeast of Columbus, Ohio, running a TS-590S into a NFED up about 40 feet.
All right, is that one of those my antennas, Larry? Over.
No, Ballon Designs. It's a 9-to-1 un-un with about 124 foot of wire on it.
Well, it's working quite nice. You're up to 10 over 9, just a beautiful beautiful signal coming through. And we apparently have some pretty nice propagation here tonight. Hey, 73s, and thank you for the call. Good to hear you. Big signal, KD8IK, W1, said what?
Roger. I've heard you many times. Are you running verticals?
Roger.
That's what I thought. Pretty close to water.
Yep, it's in a marsh. I'm in the middle of a salt marsh next to the ocean. It floods twice a day. Over.
Roger. Yep, I've heard you several times. Always a good signal. Great audio. Thanks for returning my call. KD8IK.
All right, 73s. W1, set by.
M4SLI.
And for Sugar Lima, India, W1 said, why? Good evening. You're 59 on that short one. A big signal into Rhode Island. Over.
Roger. I'm down here in Halifax County, Virginia.
southern part of Virginia, not too far from North Carolina. And I'll tell you what, you just sound superb. I don't know what radio you're running, but it's doing good. I've got ICOM 740 with just a hand mic over.
Oh, that's sounding pretty nice up here. Again, my name's Bill. I'm in southern Rhode Island, right on the coast. And I think your name is John. Thank you for the nice audio comment. We're running an old TS-830S, which I just repaired, about 500 watts, and two verticals phase to the southwest. And we're horsing around. We modified the rig for audio. We have an external processor and adjusted the ALC and the RF speech processor to take line-in signals. So we hopefully have it tweaked up properly. But you're sounding very nice up here, John, near the Carolinas. N4, Sugar, Lima, India, W1, said what?
W1's Red Line. I tell you what, brother, you're sounding real good, and you're coming down here good. The radio is superb. I love the audio of it. You've got it set up very good. And I tell you what, I don't have much of an antenna. I've got a wire up about 15 feet off the ground, and that's what I'm working off of, a dipole. And that's all I've got, that and just the radio. But I appreciate you coming back to me, and I hope you get a lot of contacts. It's been a pleasure. N4SLI, bye-bye.
Absolutely, John. And you're 20 over 9 at the end of that transmission, so incredible. Are you running 100 watts?
Roger, roger. Just barefoot radio with a hand mic.
Oh, my God. Beautiful propagation. Hey, 73s, thank you. N4SLI, W1 said what? Is that QRZ again? All right, I missed your call sign. Can you give it to me again? All right, Alpha Echo 5 Oscar X-ray, W1 said, why? Good to hear you coming through. You're peaking up at 59 and going down into about a S6 or S7. My name is Bill, Bravo India Lima Lima, and I'm located in southern Rhode Island. A very nice signal coming in tonight. I think it's Willie. Alpha Echo 5 Oscar X-ray, W1 said what? All right, well, that's a darn good antenna. It's a good height, too, for 40 meters. I think it's around a quarter wavelength. So you're getting out quite nicely. And we're hoping that you're having good weather down there. Is that right, Willie? Over. So are people wearing sweaters when they go out? They have a sweater in the car just in case they get caught out late. Willie, over. You got a what kind of jacket on?
I got a medium-sized jacket on.
All right, probably like a fleece. Is it like a fleece pullover type jacket, like a sweat, a hoodie type sweat jacket, Willie?
Yes, sir. Just about like a windbreaker.
All right, a windbreaker, yeah. We use those sometimes up here. Hey, it was nice today. It was maybe in the high 40s, but in the sunlight it was nice and warm. There was a big breeze here at my QTH right on the ocean, as there usually is. But all of the songbirds are showing up. I got three bird feeders set up on the deck outside the shack, and the place sounds like a tropical jungle during the day. A lot of birds hanging out, eating, and running around. So it's a good setup so far, but it's still kind of cold up here, Willie. At night it drops down pretty cold. At least we don't have to scrape the frost off of the windshield in the mornings. We were doing that about 2-3 weeks ago. and we're slowly getting a few days of decent temperatures, which means almost 50 degrees at times. Alpha Echo 5, Oscar X-ray, W1, said what? Yeah, we hope so, particularly, we're looking forward to that. Yeah, the place gets pretty busy, and the probably a couple months from now, it gets a lot of people here from all over, and also the local people, they go to the beach. The beach is right down the road here, about a quarter mile. And it really gets busy here. I'm right next door to a restaurant, and then there's another oyster bar a little further down the road. But outside of that, there's nothing here. There's no filling stations. There's no convenience store or supermarket or anything. So it's got a couple of tracts of water that go inland that they never put any bridges over here. There was no reason to connect them north, to connect them east-west along the coast. It's all marshy down the southern coast. Hey, 73s, Willie, and again, you're sounding good up here into Rhode Island tonight. Alpha Echo 5, Oscar X-ray, W1, said what? W1 said what?
W1.
Okay, so Lima, Japan, Echo.
Many calling. Everybody's loud. Kilo 4, Lima, Juliet, Echo. W1 said why? My name's Bill. I'm in Rhode Island. Over.
Yeah, good evening, Bill. We've worked a few times before. Handle here is Jim. And the beautiful state of North Carolina, where it's been partly cloudy. And now it's about 46 degrees, going to get cold tonight, but it's going to warm up. Good flu weather, hi. Sounding great here in North Carolina. I don't know if it's that 8:30 or the 5:20. I got a hinkling that it's the 8:30, is that right?
That is correct, over.
Yeah, okay, believe it or not, I can tell a slight bit of difference on the audio, but I'm telling you, both of them are good, man.
Thank you so much. They both have the same processor. Right, let me turn off this. 830 has the RF speech processor that I did just took off, and I've got the thing aligned and such. So, yeah, we're really happy with the thing. There's a couple more things I need to do to it. But you're sounding very nice up here, Lewis. You are 20 over 9 with beautiful audio. K4LJE, W1, said what?
Yeah, real fine, Bill. I really appreciate it. Yeah, we're running a Yaesu Fox Tango 920. Quite an old rig, but it's in excellent shape. Came from a silent key by way of another ham. And we're driving a Drake L75 amplifier. Drake L75 amplifier that we just got through working on. We recapped the thing. And, oh, man, we just are in love with this thing. I picked it up from a ham in Minnesota about 3 weeks ago, maybe, if it's even been that long. And we're getting like 800 watts out, and the antenna is an inverted L. Inverted L antenna up about 30 feet, and the antenna is 132 feet long. W1ZY, K4LJE.
All right, K4LJE, W1ZY. I'm looking at the Drake images of it on the Internet. It's a beautiful-looking amp. I never heard of one of those before. And very nice. That's a nice-looking rig. It reminds me of the old Heathkit when they went through that period where they had the smoked glass across the top. So that thing is looking very nice. And do you use ALC, Lou, with that amplifier? Over.
I've been running amplifiers for a pretty good while, and I've never really used any ALC. I just watch it and don't overdrive the grid and watch the plate current and try to not get distorted or drive anything too hard. And so far, pretty good luck, over.
Yep, Roger, understood. I think you can overdrive a 3-500. Maybe you can. I think it takes 60 watts. Yeah, I use it on, I have an SB221 I got when I was 18, and I put in a variable ALC circuit in the rear end of it, and I power down to 500 watts, which is what I'm running right now, and the ALC circuit that was in the 221, which is essentially a 220 without 10 meters, it was meant for Heath kits. It had that negative 100 volts and all that stuff going on in it. Which it still does. But I like a variable ALC much better. And you can kind of see it totally changes the rig's ALC reading when you dial it back because, of course, the amplifier is generating the ALC, especially when you're powering down the amplifier. And then it tunes just a little bit differently. I tune up max power, and then I dial it down to about 100 milliamps of grid current and then retune it slightly. And I think it gets a little bit more linear, but I'm not sure. I haven't looked at it on the scope. I like running the variable ALC, especially with the hybrid rigs. You can dial them down. That's just my preference. Well, you sounded great up here, and I'm telling you, you're 20 over 9. You're very loud, and you got great audio coming through into my headphones. K4LJE W1ZY.
Yeah, W1ZY, K4LJE. Well, thank you very much for the report there, Bill. I really appreciate the kind words, and you are doing excellent. You have done so much good work with your verticals. Hey, man, I really like the way you sound. And, man, I've listened to you coming home from work in the afternoons, and, boy, I'm telling you, I can't hear half of those guys. But you can hear them. I'm telling you, that the salt water and everything is doing you a real fine job there. Very good. Yeah, this thing has variable ALC on the front. If I decide to run my Kenwood 520 with it, I just may hook it up and see what it does there. But I have a SB220 that I run with my Heathkit rigs. I really like my Heathkit stuff over here to my right. So, and I've got the Drake fixed, so I've got to get my SB220 recapped and need a relay for it as well. So, anyway, we still got some work to do, and I'll let you go. There's a lot of people that want to talk to you. So, thank you very much for the QSO, Bill, and take care up there in Rhode Island. Yeah, there you go. K-W1ZY, K4LJE. Thanks a bunch, man. 73.
All right, and I like the call sign there, matching your initials, Lou. And, yeah, the SB220, that's, you know, I love that amplifier to work on it because it's a kit. So when you, if you want, you can take it all apart, which I did to this thing. I was waiting 35 years, I think it was. And I told myself at some point I'm going to clean that thing up because I put it together hastily when I was 18, I think in 24 hours. And I always wanted to go back in, and I did a few years ago. And I took that thing apart and sort of like paying penance for all the abuse that I administered to it. I wet sanded the aluminum like I was a car and put it back together. It tuned totally differently. When I got everything all cleaned up, Lou, it just tuned differently and worked much better. Than it had over many years. So I hope that you strip that thing and break it down and then just put it back together and wire it up nice. Hey, 73s, and a great signal. K4LJE, W1ZY.
Yeah, very good. Once again, appreciate it, and good luck to you, and we'll catch you again. W1ZY, K4LJE.
Good night.
Kilowatt Delta 4 Hotel Papa Radio.
If you call in there, Kilo Delta 4 Hotel Papa Radio, W1ZY. Name's Bill. I'm in Rhode Island. A big signal. Look at the meter on the next over. Over.
Well, good afternoon, Bill.
You have the call correct. Name is Jack.
Juliet Alpha Charlie Kilo, and I'm located in eastern Kentucky. And I understand that, I believe that you're in Rhode Island. I could have misunderstood that. But anyway, big signal for you also, Bill. You're running a 20 over down here in eastern Kentucky. Microphone swing back your way. W1ZY, KD4, high-powered radio.
All right, Kilo Delta 4, Hotel Papa Radio, W1ZY. Beautiful signal coming through. You're 20 over 9, Jack, up here into Rhode Island. Just a fantastic signal. And you got the name correct and location correct. We're located in southern Rhode Island, right on the Atlantic Ocean. Running about 500 watts into two homemade verticals. Beaming southwest right now. And we're just checking out the propagation here stateside. And a great signal coming through. Really good audio, good low end in your audio, which I'm just starting to notice. I just got a TS-830S running, repaired and running. I was using a TS-520 before that definitely needs an alignment. I can't hear any of the lows. I never was able to hear the lows until I started using this 830. So I'm gonna put that 520 on the bench here in a moment and go through it. Big signal. KD4HPR, W1ZY.
W1ZY, KD4HPR. Well, thank you for the roses and the compliments, sir, Bill, but be sure and say some for yourself. Superior audio, along with that big booming signal. That 500 watts has done a bodacious job. We're running a Yaesu FDDX 3000 here. And running Julius's EQ Plus by W2AHY, and it's probably where you're hearing the lows from. We got it kind of adjusted in to get some lows. I like lows when I'm rag chewing down here. I like to listen to lows when I'm rag chewing down here on the low bands. Different folks like different things, but myself, for my way of hearing, I like the lows. A little bit amplifier, run a little bit more than you are. We've got a couple of them sitting here on the bench. I think the other gentleman you talked to had an old amp supply 500Z. I've got one on the bench myself. I've got tuned up for another band. Running a Fairtron AL 1500 here, idling it, exciting it with about 20 watts. It looks like I'm getting about 900 out of it there, Bill. Just curious, those two verticals, I was looking at your webpage, on your car's head page, and I saw those arrays out in the water. I'd say that's probably what you're transmitting on now, and you can elaborate on those on your next over. W1ZY, KD4HPR.
Roger, KD4HPR, W1ZY, sounding great. Thank you for the lowdown on the setup, on the audio, Jack. The two verticals are homemade. I just worked on them this afternoon. I put tilt-over mounts on them so I can bring them down when we go into the lightning season. Just keep them down unless we're using them and the coast is clear. I'm in the middle of Succotash Salt Marsh in Matunuck, Rhode Island. And we're about a quarter mile from the ocean to the south and about 2 miles from the ocean to the east. And it's all a salt marsh or salt ponds that flood twice a day. When the tide comes in, the whole place gets swamped. And those photographs were taken at one of the super high tides that occur once in a while when the moon and the sun are kind of lined up. The tides can get up to 4 feet here. And we've just raised the antennas up so they don't get the feed points don't get swamped. And let me flip them on you. They're phased using the Chrisman method. Let me flip them to the northeast. This is now going up to about 60 degrees from true north up towards Europe by changing the phase through a relay out in the marsh, and then we turn it back down to you guys. I don't know if it makes much difference. But they're really simple made. They're made out of stuff you can get at Home Depot. The aluminum is, most of it is from a Tenadyne T6 log periodic. The two rear elements on it are giving up a lot of aluminum, and then there's a bunch of other aluminum from the other elements that I'm borrowing from that thing. Since the bands are dead, I figured I'd try to get the aluminum back up, repurpose the aluminum Jack HI. Works pretty good. I tune it all the time. And each one's got about 30 radials using number 18 stranded copper wire that go. They're soldered onto a quarter-inch copper tubing rings that have big ring insulators soldered onto their ends, and they bolt together. And then that's how you make the mechanical mount. And then the whole thing's dipped into Plasti-Dip to rubberize it and to waterproof it. Kilo Delta 4 Hotel Papa Radio, W1ZY.
W1ZYKD4HPR. Well, that, those parasitic verticals is definitely working when you switch to the northeastern element. You fell down. I'm running kind of behind noise here this afternoon. I'm right around 8.5 or 9. I could hear you, but the noise was competing with you. So it's definitely working when you switch back to the southwest element, and that probably, that's probably pretty close to me. It's probably a little more west than I am of you, but boy, it sure brought you out. That salt marsh would have to be a good place to play antennas. I'm right here in the Appalachian Mountains, and it's probably 2 or 3 inches under the soil. You hit solid rock, so it's hard to compete with that salt marsh, I'm sure. You had a great, big, humongous pileup that I heard, and I won't hog it on you or them. So if we've covered everything that we need to, I'll say 73s to you there, Bill, and again compliment you on your signal. By the way, I've got an older Kenwood also. Of course, it's still not as old as I believe you said 830 that she's on. It's a Kenwood 850. I'm sitting, got hit here with the amp supply to it up on another antenna. But anyway, we'll kick her back to you, and if there's nothing else, we'll let you whittle down on that huge pileup you got going there. W1ZY, 73's from Kentucky, and thanks for coming back to me. KD4HPR.
Okay, K4HPR, KD4HPR, W1ZY. I just want to ask you a question on that W2IHY box. Do they have a noise gate, a downward expander, that they buttons for that on the device, Jack, over?
They sure do, and that is, I wish that a lot of my amateur buddies, not you, but a lot of my amateur buddies would get one of those or something similar just for that purpose. But it does have a noise gate, and that thing works fabulous.
All right, very good. I got one here. I'm using the same chip. As is used, I think it's used in that box, SSM2166 analog devices, very nice little chip. It costs about $12, and I put it into a small box, and I'm using the compression and all that, but it has a really nice downward expander, which I'll turn off right now. I think you can hear that. You got all that. I can hear it, this background noise. And I like to take it out like that, and also take out the breath, which are also fun to eliminate. Hey, 73s, and a huge signal, Jack. It was my pleasure to talk to you. Kilo Delta 4 Hotel Papa Radio, W1ZY.
You betcha, 73s. It's definitely working for you, Bill. Have a good afternoon, KD4HPR.
73.
405 Sierra Echo Sierra.
The Sierra Echo Sierra.
Kilo 5 Sierra Echo Sierra.
K5SES W1 Zulu Yankee in Rhode Island. Good to hear you coming through. You're 59. And my name is Bill. Bravo, India, Lima, Lima. Over.
QSL, Bill. My name is Tommy. Tango Oscar Mike Mike Yankee. My QTH is a little bit north of Corpus Christi, Texas, right here on the Gulf of Mexico. And I heard you on the air, and I've seen your website a number of times. I've heard you on the air, and I think it's a beautiful QRZ base, rather. Love your location, and just wanted to make a contact with you and talk about that, and make a contact in Rhode Island. I was not contesting, but I was working station in the contest. I didn't see you there this weekend. Were you participating, over?
Hey, Tommy. No, not at all. I was working on a couple of other things here. The contests really don't interest me too much. It just it gives me a headache, and I'm not a contester, Tommy. Over.
QSL. Well, I'm not either. I was just I got my EX2C, and I'm a relatively new ham. About 14, 16 months ago, I guess. And I've got my WAS, my DXCC, and my WAS is on 20. And I was just about to get it on 40. I now need 3 or 4 more, and you're one of them. And like I say, I've seen your website, and I love the location. And I've got water on 3 sides of me, over.
Oh, beautiful. And what antenna system are you using, Tom?
Well, I'm here. I just got a 40-meter dipole up, but I have a big Yagi up at 72 feet, but it's just a 20 through 10 meter, over.
Oh, that's fine. And are you hanging the dipole off of the tower?
Yes. I've got it, the rope coming off at about six feet, and the dipole starts at about 59 feet, goes down in the center to about 46 or 7 feet, and it kind of tapers off to a pole I have at 43 feet over.
Very good. That's a nice setup. Nice flat top, essentially a flat top dipole, Tom, over.
Well, I'm amazed. I can say I'm a relatively new ham, and I wasn't too amazed about the Yagi. I spent a lot of time contemplating that, and I've got an amplifier, and so I wasn't, concerned about that. But I put up this dipole, it's an Alpha Delta. I have an 80 and a 40, and this weekend I worked everything in Europe and South America on 15 meters, and I worked Cape Verde on all four bands. I mean, it's just unbelievable what a $79 piece of wire can do, over.
Beautiful. Yeah, you're 10 over 9 on peaks. Yeah, it is. It always fascinates me, the whole phenomenon of the wireless communication just really is mesmerizing. When you stop and think about it, you can understand why people way back when, 100 years ago, over 100 years ago, got so excited when it was discovered. And as a result, we have ham radio today. The public was just, people were just started playing with it, especially the farm boys taking apart the Model T spark ignition coils and all that stuff that they did and the ingenuity and such. So that was a lucky break for all of us. But yeah, you got a good setup down there. You got the dipole setup, not as an inverted V, but as a flat top. And I think that's the way to go. I always notice that the dipoles work much better when they're flat, when they're all above the ground, rather than coming down at it. And then with the wires kind of angling at each other. The way you got it set up is a really good setup. And it seems to be working quite nicely from you, judging from what you told me that you worked over the contest. A lot of big signals here. I was listening to them. I'm working on an S-40 Halicrafters, aligning it and trying to align it. And I was listening to some of the contests. There's a big signals coming through, especially from Europe, just pounding in. Kilo 5, Sugar, Echo Sugar, W1, said what?
Whiskey 1, Zulu, Yankee, Kilo 5, Sierra, Echo Sierra. Yeah, well, you know, the big guns in Europe, I talk to them all the time. I mean, Blanco, but I talked to a guy the other day up in Vladivostok, Russia. He's running 20 kW, so that'll get you out, right?
Oh my God, is that way out in the eastern, way up near Japan?
USL.
Oh my God, that's incredible. That's an exotic place. It'd be interesting. I worked some of those guys on CW years ago, and you hear that flutter on their signal coming right over the pole. That's a difficult path for me here to get right over that pole, like Guam and the Philippines. They're all on the other side of the North Pole, so it's difficult, particularly on 40 meters. Congratulations on that contact with that guy with the 20 kilowatts. I heard a French station here on 40 talking about how much power he's running and just nonchalantly saying, "Hell, I'm running 3,000 watts." I thought that was an interesting admission to make. Good to hear you, and it sounds like you got yourself set up there as a relatively new ham. You're doing quite nicely, Tom. Probably been around for a while. K5SES, W1, said what?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I've learned a lot, and what I've really learned is that you think people say something, a lot of them don't know what they're talking about. And for instance, my first conception was that NVIS type antenna, which is like my 80, have it 43.5 feet. Because now it's sloping up to the tower, but the one end is 43.5 feet. And they said, "Well, you know, you're going to be NVIS, and you're not going to get out very far, and blah blah blah, because you have to be at least half a wavelength." But I put it up originally as totally flat at 43 feet at the tower and 43 feet on the field, because that matches 50 ohms exactly. on 80 meter wires to the coax, but they're just wrong. I mean, I've worked 40 something countries in the first 60 days, and I don't do this all day off of that 80 meter wire over to them.
Yeah, I think NVIS is really low to the ground, and it's assisted by having a reflector underneath it right on the ground. I think it's 7 feet, 8 feet for 80 meters, I think. So, yeah, that's not quite accurate. But, hey, you know, it's amateur radio. I mean, I hear myself all the time, many times, Tom, talking about something that I check out later, and it turns out it was not quite accurate. the amateurs will... it's all a learning process, and everybody teaches each other. Now, 40 years ago, 45 years ago, man, I'm telling you, I would just sit and listen as a teenager to these guys. I call them the masters. These are guys that are going all the way back to the Spark Gap guys, the old ones. And they would get on the air, 80 meters in particular, in the afternoons, and having these conversations about stuff, radio engineers. And they were, like, incredible. You could learn so much just sitting back and listening to these guys having conversations about technical matters. And then, of course, when the sun goes down, they would start bringing up. I remember the night that I think it was Dana, W1CF, I think it was, brought up a Foursquare up on 80 meters. And everybody was oohing and awing about it. Just an incredibly nice performing antenna. But I remember that. It was in the winter. But those days, those guys go down to CW, you hear all those signals, the chirps, the hum, the old military equipment, and all the fists. Everyone had their own voice, their own fists. You could tell them who they were. Really fast operators and really clean operating practices back in the old days. Today, it's opened up to a wider sampling of people. And so you get a lot of different people. Some people, like, they're kind of like broadcasters. They think they're in a radio station, which is okay. Got the beautiful microphones and the nice audio, and you can hear them. It's kind of fun to the nets and such. Tom, you listen to them, and it's like a radio show almost. So it's interesting to watch the evolution of ham radio as a function of the people that get involved in it. This kind of stuff they come up with, but. Yeah, you're coming up quite nice. I would one thing I think if you're going to play, if you have a nice tower and a pole and those heights that you're talking about, would be to try a half square on 40 meters, which is just as long, a little bit longer than a dipole, horizontal wire, and then it's got these two legs that come down, quarter-way legs that come down. You can either feed it at the bottom with a LC network, or you can feed it in the corner. It might be something to Google and to check out. It's essentially two-phase verticals. And it doesn't really require a ground system because the top horizontal wire acts as a phasing line, and the current maximum are at the top. I've used them myself, and they're very effective bidirectional antenna, something to horse around with if you got the pulleys and the ropes, something to play with. K5 Sugar Echo Sugar W1 said what?
Yeah, Bill. Well, my next project is to put up a full wave 80 meter loop. I'm going to put it up about 60 feet, and I'll be able to work 80, 40, 20, work everything 80 down. And do you know what drill stem is, over?
What is?
Drill stem, like drilling for oil.
No, I don't.
Well, when they hook the drill bit on, they have these 30-foot joints of pipe, and the bit just screws onto that pipe, and then the next joint of pipe, they put that in the ground, and then they put another joint, and they screw it into that. So they basically drill 30 feet at a time, add another piece of pipe, and so forth. And coming back out of the hole, it's the reverse. Well, the only thing that will hold up these big, heavy poles is something that has got thick sidewalls. And they even make this stuff in what's called 13 chrome. It's kind of like a chrome moly. It is chrome moly, but it's the sidewalls are a quarter or 5/16 inch thick. And they weigh about 20 pounds a foot. And I'm just going to concrete 10 foot of one in the ground and leave 20 feet sticking out. And then I'm just going to get a crane, not a big crane, just one of those big ones, a small drive around, and we're going to screw another piece into that one and screw another piece, and that way you don't need guy wires to put up the loop over.
That sounds like an interesting project, and I don't think those things are going to buckle any from what you describe, Tom, over.
No, they don't. I have a friend that has 110 foot on the side. He's 110 feet high. He put four joints, 120 feet, concrete, 10 feet in the ground with a bunch of rebar. And he's got about 16 dB of gain out of that loop. And he's talked to everything over a period of a number of years. But I'd go over to his house. Unfortunately, he's developed really bad dementia. But I'd go to his house, and he would just be booming anywhere he wanted to talk to over.
Well, that's incredible. That's what we love to hear. And if you have the space for that, have you thought about, it's like kind of similar to a rhombic. Have you ever thought about that over?
My brother, as I am back in the 50s, and he used to have a rhombic. I didn't know much about it, but recently I read that that's how the United States communicated to the Pacific. They put a series of giant rhombics that were that beam in different directions out over the Pacific, South Pacific, right against the mountains, right above the sea in California. Over.
Yeah, W6AM, Don Wallace bought the place. I think that's what you're talking about, or something similar to that. And I believe that they were using that as a telephone for before the war. It was for international telephone calls. And even after he bought it, I think he was also renting it out for the original purpose. But those rhombics, you know, you're getting into a totally different thing. They're non-resonant. They're traveling wave antennas. And they have a different, they're using different principles to work. Now, of course, you have to put one, you know, one direction. I think you can flip them, flip the direction on them. But, yeah, that's a serious thing. But what you're describing here is just incredible, using that well pipe and if you got the crane and all that stuff, you guys down there can do that kind of work, Tom. You're going to get some nice supports up there. And, that's that antenna, the horizontal thing. You could put up a loop, or you could actually put up a rhombic, or at least a play with it as it's a rhombic with the break in the end and the resistors and so forth. But yeah, that'll signal a tune up on 20 meters. I mean, you're going to get some weird gain out of it. You're going to get some really interesting results. It'll be a endless experiment, Tom. Over.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to it. But another thing I've thought about, if you look at my QRZ page, you'll see that I have a height tower fold over. It's a pretty big operation. It's got an opto beam on top of it, a big one. And I got to thinking, you know, they build all these things, and I studied all the wind loading and everything before I put it together. And I said, you know, these people don't know about 13 chrome. And so my neighbor is the executive vice president of EOG. I don't know if it's a big oil company, one of the largest oil companies in the country. And he said, well, Tommy, what about 13 chrome drill stem? I said, what's 13 chrome? And he told me, and he said, hell, you can put three joints of that stuff up in there, or four, whatever you want to. It's not going to bend. It's not going to wobble. And he said, you can put a 600-pound antenna up there, put your rotator on top of it, and be done with the tower. Over.
Let's hope you don't try to start rotating it, Tom. Over.
No, but you could put your rotator up there and run your electrical, and you know, you don't need these giant towers to climb and all of that. Over.
Roger. Just the crane. So that sounds like how much land do you have to play with this on? Over.
My lot is about an acre and a half, but I got a lot of trees. One of my big problems with putting up this dipole is Hurricane Harvey hit us August 25th of 17. It wiped out this town, but it wiped out our beautiful oak trees that are about 50 foot tall. It didn't knock them all down, but it knocked all the branches out of them. So while they were down, I was able to put this dipole, take the line and throw it over the trees with my fishing rod, and then pull the dipole And so I finally got it up, but it wasn't easy. But I have enough land to do pretty much what I want to.
All righty. Well, I hope that you put up a lot of those supports and take a really good look at that rhombic. If you're going to make a loop, take a good look at that rhombic shape and see what it would where you would have to put those well casings, those well poles up to give that a shot. I think you have to cut the end of it and put a resistor in or something like that. And I hope you feed this thing with open wire and use real open wire rather than the window stuff, that TV antenna stuff. I make open wire out of aluminum fence wire, which I like. It's got 80% the conductivity of copper. It's very light. And I use the snowplow stakes that you can get in the store, especially right around now. They're really cheap. It's a good source of fiberglass. And I cut them and drill them out and use those as a spacers for the to hold the two electric fence wires, aluminum, not steel. And that stuff works really nice. And if you drill the hole properly, it really holds it very nicely. You don't need to do anything. You have to stick it or anything. You could glue it or whatever, but I don't do that. And that stuff is really nice. It's really light and it can run a lot of power. I use them for beverages too, reversible beverages, the same thing. But you probably will just figure out what you're going to do there. You got a good investment there with the tower and everything else you got going on there. But it's good to see that you guys can roll your sleeves up and get in there and start digging holes and putting that rebar in. I'm sure you got a lot of guys that are really good at that stuff down there. I look at your QRZ page, and I notice that you have like 16 displays up around what possibly could be the Radio Shack. But it looks like you're doing financial trading in your retirement, Tom. Over.
Yeah, I did it. I was in the investment counseling business for 30 years, and later in it, I got into farming. Kind of retired from the investment counseling business at about 25 years, really. Took a while to work out of it. I became a cotton farmer on a large scale down here, but I love to trade. Actually, I took off a year and went up to trade at S&P's in the pit in Chicago when the Merck was still active. I really loved it, and I've traded my whole life. So when I retired, I always had a trading platform here. In fact, I had a C-band satellite dish. I could make my trades right to the top step broker at the Merck. But since I retired, I trade a very low quantity. I don't trade big volumes or anything. I do it for fun. And I have friends, and we trade S&P futures, a few bonds, a few other things just casually, but kind of serious S&P traders. And now, I've been doing that for about since 2005, and I'm slowing down. And I told my wife, I said, I need another hobby. I said, I'm getting tired of this. She said, well, your brother was a ham back in the day. You know, I said, well, yeah, I think I'll look into that. So, hell, I went and took all three tests, and I've gotten really deep into it. But I still, every day, I get up, sit down at my desk, and when the market opens, I watch the first hour and see what's called the initial balance. I'll watch the trade. I might put on a trade if I like it. I look at the advanced decline lines, upside, downside volume in the market, and do all those things, and if I see something I like, I might stay there till 3 o'clock over.
Well, that sounds like a great thing to do, and it doesn't cost you any money, right?
No, I mean, you know, I can trade or not trade, but I can look at the bond market and see an interest rate, and I can look at the currencies, and, you know, I'm an economist by trade, and I say I am. I didn't practice in I wasn't a practicing economist, but I managed pension funds and corporate retirement accounts and that sort of thing. So I got pretty involved over my lifespan in the financial markets, and so I guess you never get over it. Over.
Yeah, I guess it's it takes a lot to understand it and then get a hang for it. So I'd imagine that after you retire, so to speak, you can it's something that you really can't put down. It's so easy at that point to set up the displays and get the access, and then just continue doing it like, but not as a job, not as a work thing. And, well, you know, apparently you enjoyed it, and when you do something like that and the money follows you, when you're doing something professional that you love doing, you would do anyway. And so it looks like you had a good experience with that. From what I can see here on these antennas that you're putting up, my God, this is like a major ham radio installation you got down there, a big log periodic on a self-supporting tower, and you're just kind of getting into it. I guess they do everything big down there in Texas, Tom. K5SES, W1ZY.
The local ham club, their rag tours at the best on 2 meters, and I've really lost a lot of interest. I would like to, you know, learn something, but after about a year and a half, I'm still going to the meetings, but we never talk about ham radio. We talk about plumbing or something, and I'm 74 years old, and I'm running out of time. And I don't really want to talk about plumbing or my grandchildren. I don't have any, but their grandchildren and their problems. I guess I'm going to have to walk away from it. Over.
Well, you know, maybe try to get the conversation to come back over to something more radio specific. But I know what you're talking about. I mean, if you go, sometimes when you go to those things, it's just a bunch of guys chewing the fat. Also, you notice those conversations on ham radio, like I was saying earlier, 40 years ago and more, a lot of technical conversations. But today, when you cruise the bands, sometimes you just hear people like talking about what they bought or what they're going to buy, and it's like consumers talking about products rather than getting into the nitty gritty of the technical stuff. My own work here with these verticals is using the available parts. Was because my mentor, or my Elmer, was my great uncle, W1DI, who was one of the Spark Gap guys way long time ago. And he told me, or taught me, that you build everything. And in fact, I bought I built the radio, the receiver, the transmitter when I was just starting out, Tom. And then at one point I got frustrated because I couldn't get the transmitter to stop chirping, and I tried lots of different things with his help, buffering, little buffer tubes in it and stuff. Regulated power supply. We couldn't get it to stop chirping. I think we were loading the oscillator too much. Anyway, I went and bought a DX60, and boy, he got pissed off at me. And I heard him on the radio, and he wouldn't QSO me. After he knew I'd bought that. I still have the receiver, a three-tube receiver we made, but I was using the commercial transmitter. And anyway, So you don't have that kind of stuff. You hear it once in a while. A lot of the Soviet guys and the Eastern Europeans are into building, but you don't really hear too much of it these days. And when you go to those club meetings, a lot of times the conversations, as you indicate, are on more mundane daily matters. I think that you should do what you're doing, focus, and get those pipes up and just keep on building up the station. K5SES at W1ZY.
Call appliance operators.
Good question. On your antenna switch, I have a very simple operation here. I have a transceiver, I have an amplifier, I have a rotator and a clock and a computer. But recently I put in one of these Alpha Delta switches so I could switch between all of my antennas. It's right here in my desk. But I make a mistake, especially when I'm in a hurry, and I'll go transmit on 80 or something when I'm on a 40-meter antenna, or I'll transmit on the Aggie and just do something wrong, and not have it on the right antenna, and then my SWR, I get a bunch of reflected power, and it shuts the amplifier down. And I talked to DX Engineering, and ACOM makes a automatic antenna switch. And you just basically hook up all of your coaxes to that one switch. And then, like on my computer this weekend, I just tune my computer. I don't even touch anything. I just touch the spot. And then it tunes the transceiver. And that, in turn, tunes the band. It's not only, if it's not on the right band, it'll put you on the right band and tune it within 1 second to that frequency. Like in 80, even the amplifier's got like 4 different settings. It all does it automatically, and then I don't make the mistake of transmitting on the wrong antenna. Over.
Yeah, well, there's another example of the evolution of the whole technology and the application of it, again, to ham radio. over here, I got to switch and I got to reach over and feel which position it's in, Tom, over.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. Now, is that inside your shack or is that outside?
Oh, the antenna switching?
Yes, the antenna switching.
Yeah, it's out in the field, out in the marsh, about 150 feet away. Over.
Well, in other words, when you want to switch bands, you have to go out there. Over.
No, I have a on my table I built. I have a metal plate I mounted on the leg, and I have a toggle switches. I have a power supply, and it runs relays out in the marsh. But I'm a single band operation. I'll throw it right now. This is what I did is I changed the phase. I'm using two verticals, and I changed the phase to change the directivity. This is to the east. This is a omni position. This is out. They're both in phase, and this is phased down to the southwest. And I have to reach over to a toggle switch. A very old technology over here, Tom, over.
Yeah, well, it was, you're still S9 plus 5, I guess. It was a little bit garbled at one time, and then it's perfectly clear now, over.
Yeah, just pointing the directivity pattern of the two verticals in different directions. But I use automotive relays, a BMW headlight relays. They're sealed, and they last a while, and when they crap out, I just pull them out and put new ones in, Tom, over.
Well, I tell you what, I haven't talked like this in a long time about electronics. The Navy spent a lot of money training me on aircraft electronics, and that was 1962 to 1965, and I could work on almost anything and understood it, too. But I forgot all of that, and I haven't really taken it up, you know, getting into things like that. And I really, at this point in my life, I guess I just want to move and let the technology. I don't want to try to keep up with the inside of the equipment. Over.
You want to keep up with it, or you don't want to?
I don't want to go inside the guts of my transceiver. Over.
Okay, I understand that. They're really modern. I wouldn't want to go inside the guts of a modern one either. I wouldn't understand it. My level is just about on the TS-830 level, which is what I'm using right now, and we repaired this one. But anything above that, it gets a little bit, like the digital stuff, I don't have the, I'm not a technical person, I don't get up into that level. But I do like to hang out on my level, which is probably the late 70s, and try to continue what my mentor drummed into my head, which is that the ham radio, which you got to build as much as you possibly can, particularly the antennas, that you have to be physically involved in that, preferably designing them. I know a lot of people buy them and then construct them, and that's pretty cool. But I like to try to make them out of whatever we have hanging around. If he saw these antennas that I built here, he would like them, but then when I told him I had to spend about $100, he would not like that. That would be, no, you're supposed to... the antenna has to be made out of what's lying around, was his attitude. Anyway, it's all fun. It's all incredible. Again, if you're just starting out, the biggest resource, at least it used to be, was just sitting and listening because you have at your fingertips an incredible wealth of knowledge of people that are like engineers and technical people. That can really get into it. Professors, stuff like that, they can really get into it and explain stuff, Tom. Or you can just dial into a conversation. At least in the old days, you can pick up a lot of information and ask questions if you get stuck. K5SES, W1ZY.
Yeah, I understand. I can tell you, though, that I can say it's hard for me to find anybody. I'll give you an example. When I started putting a grounding system in for that antenna out there, I read everything AR had. I read grounding bonding books 3 times. I read it all, and I said something didn't really make a lot of sense. And so I picked up the NEC manual. It's 256 pages, Motorola seal, and I read everything about antennas and grounding, and I did it the way they did it. And I put a huge ring that goes all the way around that concrete base you see out there. It has the big... arms coming off at angles, well, that's all concrete. And I put that thing in the ground, and then I tied in
on each leg of the antenna is tied into that grounding ring underneath the, around the concrete, underneath the ground. And then I tied that all to my end of my ground rod outside of my shack. And then I put a grounding bus outside the house, one of the DX Engineering copper fields, and I put one inside. And I put the lightning arresters and everything on it, but I still was uncomfortable with the fact that, you could get a surge that would come back up the grounding. And so I checked around and I found the most, I actually asked everybody in the country to call people, and it said the best guy in the country is in New Mexico. And I called him in his office and asked him if I could talk to him. He said, well, if you wait a while, I'll be on the way home and I'm 45 minutes from the house. I'll just take your call and we'll discuss it. And I said, well, that would be super. So I called him, and he said, well, you've done everything right. He said, nobody does it like this, but you did do one thing. And I said, well, what's that? He said, you need to put in this Alpha Delta switch. Well, I had one. I'd never installed it. He said, it's got a neutral position that nothing can get through. And he said, besides that, there's not one thing else you can do. I said, well, I've been undoing the antenna when we have storms and taking the coax off and taking the grounded off. He said, phooey. He said, if it's going to come through, it's a direct hit, it doesn't matter. And he said, anything else, your ground is going to take care of. And I had at least 20 people told me he's the best in the country, so I'll just go with that over.
And what was the other thing that you didn't do outside of the switch that he advised you to do?
No, I had done everything else. I had everything grounded the antenna properly. Oh, and here's something people don't know. People think that more ground rods the better. As it turns out, and maybe you know this, but a ground rod, two ground rods have to be at least two lengths away. So if they're 8-foot ground rods, they have to be 16 feet away or they cancel each other out, over.
Yep, I knew that. I always space them out myself. And understood on that one. Yeah, but it sounds like you did the research and such. So, like, it really is you're investigating it as thoroughly as you probably did different futures and puts and all of those things in the financial industry. So you were a quick study, Tom. Over.
Well, I hope I can stay that way. I get worried that some of my friends are not up to speed there. But I had seen your QRZ page about all the marshes and everything, and I was fascinated that you're right in the middle of that. Now, I have water on three sides, and so when I put up my tower, and I just got my license, and I thought about it for months before I put it all up. But I'm about 4 miles from the Gulf of Mexico, 4.5. And so what I did, the curvature of the Earth is about 5.4 feet a mile. So what I did was make sure I had a antenna high enough so that as the focus of the radiation leaves the antenna and rolls off, the first hop doesn't occur off the ground. It's very much like yours. It occurs off of water. So that's why I'm able to have a relatively low takeoff angle and still hit the water. And so my hops are about 2,600 miles. So since the angle of radiation is the same as the angle of incidence, it doesn't take me very long to get into Central Asia, over.
Yep, understood. Have you studied about the near field and the far field pertaining to antennas?
No, I have not.
Well, you might want to go check that out, research that and such. It's the two areas. The near field is essentially a half a wavelength. It's the area immediately surrounding the antenna, and it's where all of the complex stuff happening on the antenna itself, within inches of it, is so complex mathematically that it starts to sort itself out. The waves, the fields become planar. And that's where you do all the things, like in example, like a vertical, that's where you put the radials down in that area to collect the ground currents so that the antenna will be efficient, so that you put 100 watts in and you can maybe get 100% efficiency, 100 watts out, effectively radiated. And then the area outside of that is a far field, and it extends, I guess, maybe at half wavelength or a wavelength, then onward out depending on the frequency, many wavelengths. And that's where the pattern of the antenna is sculpted. Particularly with horizontal antennas, they depend upon a ground reflection and the type of soil that you have in the in that area surrounding the antenna has a big effect on what the final pattern looks like, particularly in the lower angles, lower elevation angles. That's why people put the antennas up, the horizontals go up so high, is that they want to lower their angle. They want to have a lot of ground reflection to then bounce back up and join the what's called the direct wave, which is the radiation component that doesn't hit the ground. You know, going out horizontally, let's say, it never touches the ground, and that's what you want to try to reinforce with the ground reflection. It's also why the horizontal antennas, when you look at the elevation plot, they have huge nulls, because sometimes the ground reflection comes back and the two waves will cancel each other out. And at other angles, they add up. But in my situation here, in such close proximity to this water, including the near field underneath the antennas, as you see in the photograph, and then extending out to the far field, it has the vertical antenna. It doesn't have a ground reflection. It wants to radiate maximum energy at the horizon, essentially. And as a result, the salt water does not attenuate it, which is why the takeoff angle is so low. On the antennas that you're talking about, the area immediately surrounding the antenna is going to have a big effect over the low angle lobe. And if you got the water out there, that definitely helps. It's about 4 or 5 miles is a good distance. I don't know if it's within the far field of the antenna, but it certainly is a nice place to be, especially if you're surrounded by it. And I'm sure you see that yourself. K5SES, W1ZY.
Do you copy you?
I'm only 400 yards from the bay, from the inland bay, and then I'm 4 more miles to the Gulf of Mexico. So that's northeast and east, but it's about a mile to the southwest. I mean, to the northwest is about 2 miles to the water. So I've got water everywhere around me, and so everything coming off the antenna. But what I wanted to ask you about, when you talked about ground, I read about good ground and poor ground. Is sand, if you have saturated sand, like we've had a lot of rain, is that good ground or is that poor ground?
It's better than when it's not saturated, but the fresh water is not a good, it's not like salt water. The salt water is because of the salt content and something else in there. I forgot what it was. The soil conditions are the soil conductivity and the dielectric, the permittivity, which is the capacitance. It's how it behaves as a capacitor. If you're near a lake or whatever, it's not like being near the water. But what you describe is very good. 400 yards away that's in your near field, that's in your far field, on 40 meters, on 80 meters certainly. You're in a good, it's a good location, Tom. You've got really good close proximity, over.
To further that question, since I'm up here at probably 73 feet, the antenna 72, and it's up on concrete. At 73 feet, is the ground affected at all when I'm only a quarter of a mile? Well, it's not even really. Probably at 440 yards to the water. Does the ground have anything to do with it? Over.
I think so. You have to imagine that the radiation coming off of the horizontal antenna. It looks like a truck tire standing on its end. In other words, you got two nulls in two compass headings, and then you've got the main lobe one way, the main lobe the other way, like in a dipole. But that's going, some of it's shooting straight up, Tom. Some of it's shooting at a 45-degree angle. Some of it's shooting, half of it is shooting towards the ground at some angle. And the ones that are really useful to building up your takeoff angle, to lowering it, are the ones that are coming off at, let's say, 5 degrees below the horizon or 2 degrees below the horizon, the ones that take a long time before they encounter the ground. It's called a grazing angle. And then when they bounce off, if they're hitting water at that, if they go out that far and they hit water, then they come back up. A lot of it will come back up. The water will not absorb it as much as the soil will. So, I think that... on certain angles, the ones that you want for the low takeoff, that component of the antenna, as you're probably getting a reflection off of the water that then adds to the direct wave, which is the one that you want, which is close to the horizon, if you know what I'm talking about. So I think that it probably does have an effect to it. Over.
Okay. Well, I knew it had some, but I just thought when I was calculating the takeoff angle, and I'm not an expert, of course, in that, but I believe because of my situation here and the fact that I'm, think about this, I'm 10 feet above sea level where my house is. That's 400 yards from the water. So effectively, my antenna is really about 84 feet. That's perfect, I guess, on 40 meters. And I should be getting the bulk of the reflection off of water, I would think, and maybe some is going down here in the ground and being absorbed. But one thing about it, the amplifier will overcome a little of that.
Maybe not so much. It's logarithmic and such. One thing that you can do, as you know, is you can put another identical antenna underneath the one that you're using, and the phase, if you phase them in a certain way, you can steer the takeoff angle. You can lower your takeoff angle that way mechanically. But again, the verticals have an advantage because their maximum they have minimum radiation off the top and minimum off the bottom. They're just like a dipole, but you turn it 90 degrees. It's like a donut lying on the counter of a coffee shop, and it has maximum radiation right at the horizon. And if you can put a vertical up where the ground underneath it and the ground in the far field is salt water, then it does not attenuate the lowest of the low angles. And it has to be in immediate proximity to the antenna. On 40 meters, it's like 80 feet, 60 feet, quarter wave, half wave. It has to be in the immediate area. But with what you're doing there with the horizontals, I think it probably has an effect. I wouldn't say that most of the energy is bouncing off the ocean, but the stuff that's the filet mignon, the stuff that's really going to add up when it comes back up at a low angle, it goes off and it bounces, reflected or refracted by the water, and it comes back up at 2 degrees, and it meets that main, what's called the direct wave. Probably does assist you. You may see a difference. It's kind of hard to tell, but just generally speaking, if you point the antenna in areas that where you have more land before you hit the water, then maybe you'll see a little less less performance, or less like a probability. Is that you don't get as good signal reports, or it doesn't perform as well as the ones where you're pointing at the water, Tom? I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Over.
Yes, I have. Well, I tell you one thing. This is the finest conversation I've had on AM radio. You're a cornucopia of information. I have one more question about my dipole, and that is that I read all of this stuff and I looked at all the radiation patterns, and the radiation for pattern, of course, varies with height. And I looked at the ones that are at my height, and I studied all of that. But everybody talks about the nulls off the end of the dipole. Well, I have proven myself. I particularly will work a station in a foreign country right off the end of the wire. And I can work them, maybe not quite as good. Maybe they're S7 instead of S9 or something. But I basically, on my dipoles, the way they're situated, the center of the dipole is facing 40 degrees on 40 meters, and it's facing 30 degrees on 80 meters. And I can work everybody in Europe, and I can, the fact that I can work Australia, and right off the end of it, I can work Arizona and Southern California and Hawaii. And I don't see that it makes any difference. And it's been amazing to me off my big Yagi. I can tune that thing when somebody's in Swaziland or something. And if it's 5 degrees off at that distance, it makes a lot of difference. And I've checked it and had other people check it on the other end. And I can get it down to 1 or 2 degrees with my antenna, then the guy on the other end, it will go up from like S7 to S9, over.
Yeah, are you talking pointing right at the person, or are you talking about turning the antenna, the rotatable one, so that the ends are pointing at the person?
Yeah, well, I started talking about the dipoles and working off the end, but then I started talking about my Yagi and focusing it. People, you know, generally they just put in the direction somebody's in South Africa, but I have found that it's so directional right off the very, very high power part of it. I have the radiation pattern. Mine is kind of like a dipole. It's just a big bubble. But it's a true log. It's not a log periodic. And the Alpha Beam is the only person I know that makes it. And so it's got a giant, big bulging radiation pattern. Over.
Yep. I don't know what I know Tom, the owner of that company. I don't know what he's up to, but he's probably something pretty pretty incredible. But you know what's a fun thing to do with that rotatable beam that you have is, I think it's a log periodic, is when you're listening to Europe, let's say, somebody far away, DX, and you got good conditions, is to turn the antenna so it's 90 degrees off of facing them. In other words, try to watch what happens when you turn that thing so that the side of it is facing Europe, let's say. And watch the null, and you'll see if it's windy out, you won't be able to get it. But if it's nice, dead calm, and you just rock the rotator a little bit, you'll find a place where they will go right down to like a huge dip in the signal. The signal will disappear if it's really calm out, and that's because they're looking. You have to imagine being in Europe, looking at your antenna when it's oriented like that. Tom, it's like you're looking at the ends of the elements, and they're so small, the aperture, the size of the antenna at that point is equal to the diameter of the conductor that makes it up. It's a nothing. And then the second you turn it just slightly, 2 degrees or three, you can imagine it starts to present a line. It starts to present more. You can see more of the antenna visually. And then if you go 90 degrees, you got all of the antenna looking at you. But if you turn it so you're looking down one of the ends, all you're seeing is like the end of the wire. And that's the reason why they have a null. That's not the reason, but it's a way of thinking about it. That would be an interesting thing to horse around. I had a log periodic once, and I used to do that just for fun. Say, let me see if I can find the perfect null. And it's like plus or minus, 3 degrees, 2 degrees or something. It's really incredibly precise. But once you hit that, you can demonstrate for yourself what happens when you're looking off the side or looking off the end of the antenna. And with your working guys off the end of your dipole, the antenna is so low relative to the wavelength, particularly 80 meters, and it also slopes that you might be getting, you might be nullifying the null effect on the antenna. In other words, if you imagine the antenna you're working these guys off the end of the dipole, quote unquote, it's actually sloping. So as a result, you never get that point where you're looking right at that little end of the wire. You always see something off of that antenna and coming off the tower. It might be acting as a reflector. So in those instances where you say you're working these guys off of the dipole, I would be interested to know which way is the dipole sloping when it comes down to that pole, and is that the direction that you're getting the good responses from, Tom? K5SES, W1ZY.
Wow, you're right. They're not like no one, no matter which end of the wire, everybody sees the sloping going up. It's flat in place, and then it slopes up. Half of it's reasonably flat, and the other half sloping up. I really have to think about that, but the antenna is a true log. It's not a log periodic, and it's active. It's active on all the elements except the director. And Tom built this thing, and he told me they make. It's called an OBLY-14-5, and they make a 16-5. Got two more elements, and I talked to him about. And when I put this thing up, I worked 100 countries in like five months, and he said,
I said, Tom, what can I do to make this thing better? And he said, Tommy, he said, that's a rocket. You don't need to do anything. And I worked 189 through yesterday.
Yep, very nice. You could get another one and stack it underneath it. But I don't know what he's doing over there with that, whatever ingenious thing he came up with. You can grip that when you're looking at the end of that. If you have a rotary dipole, I've seen guys do this, those dipoles that rotate, and they point the end at you, they can almost disappear. It's insane when you're looking right at the end of it. That null is really pronounced for the horizontal antennas. The verticals don't have that problem because the nulls are directly above and directly below, and who cares? You get the maximum radiation right at the horizon, 0 degrees, and most of it a few degrees above and a few degrees below. So you get the best of both worlds, which is why all the original guys, Tom, were vertical guys until World War II. Then everybody got into Yagis and coax. But fascinating. And, boy, you're going to... I would read that thing about the near field and far field. Find some something that you enjoy reading on that topic, and that might be interesting when you start thinking about your topographical situations, all the water that's around you. K5SES, W1, said what?
Well, Bill, is that why a loop antenna never works better than a dipole? A number of reasons, but is that because it's never, you're never seeing just an end? Over?
I don't know about that. I know that if you get the loop, if you get like a rhombic, it starts to behave as a traveling wave antenna. It's not resonant anymore, and a lot of other things happen. I know the loop antennas because it's a closed loop where the wire is connected to itself, the noise will cancel itself out more than like a dipole or any kind of antenna that doesn't have it self connected to itself, so to speak. But I don't know the answer to that question, Tom. Over.
Well, I tell you what, that one thing, you've given me a lot of tidbits, and I will check this near field and far field out. But I never thought of the null because of a dipole. What most people talk about, a horizontal dipole, obviously that would be. But when you look at the radiation pattern, they show those nulls. But there probably isn't one, particularly on that end that goes from 43 feet up to 60 feet. So they're seeing some of the antenna all the time. Is that right?
Absolutely.
What a piece of information.
Yeah, it's a mind blower. It's interesting. You'd have to get that thing, like those guys with the horizontal ones, the flat tops. You'll see the null there, but, you know, and some guys actually use them as a directive array. They'll slope it intentionally off of a tower, Tom, and it'll become directive that way. But, yeah, I think that's that might be one of the reasons why you're even working, quote, off the ends, unquote.
Well, you know, I had them up at 43 feet, the 80 meter up at 43 feet. And while I was putting the 40 meter up, I put it up to, you know, 60, about 60 feet on that one side. And so I said, well, I'm doing that when I just do the 80. And I noticed this weekend, I just did this last week, I noticed this weekend that my signal strength in Europe and South Africa and all was a couple of S units higher on that 80 meter wire now that I got the slope in it. Over.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know why that would be, but it's a good thing. It might be the propagation, or it might be something that you did. Over.
Well, it's just the heights, I think. I went from 43 feet to some of it being at 55 and 58 feet. Over.
Oh, yeah. I think that is like the important on 80 meters. Is that right?
On 80, and also I got the big slope going up, so I don't have that any nulls at all. I mean, I worked from Sonora, Mexico, all the way around to Puerto Rico, and I worked Mexico, and I worked Central America and Ireland, and I mean everything off that same 40 meter wire.
All right. Well, it was a hell of a weekend to do it on. The big contest going on, Tom. Yeah, you could go out. You could get a fuel strength meter or drive it. If you have a mobile in the car, put like an MFJ analyzer or something on, or throw a carrier or do something. And then just drive around and look at the fuel strength meter readings. That's like the real way to tell what's happening with the antenna. Is to get put a little a 1 watt or 500 milliwatts into it, and then drive around and take a look at what it's doing. I can see the difference here if I have a monitor, and I'm sitting into the southwest essentially of the antenna. I'm west of it, and when I flip it towards me to the southwest, I can see the difference on the S meter. So that's also a very very reliable way of seeing what the hell's going on. But I think you're right with that. With the thing sloping, it's going to nullify the null effect, so to speak. Over.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out. I hate to right now get into all that. Big loop antenna, it's a major project. I'm going to play with this for a while and see if I can't. I think it's been a real challenge to try to get, you know, multiple countries on the wires. And I think I can get the WAS on all bands off these wires, and then maybe I will consider putting that up. I've been getting all the parts lined up for the drill stem and all of that. But getting something done in Texas after all these storms and all field being busy, it's pretty tough down here. Over.
Yeah, after all of that, but it's a good time of year to do it. You got a nice window here before you have to worry about that stuff. The other thing, of course, is with those supports that you're thinking about using, the wire antennas are not going to get damaged in a hurricane, Tom. Over.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I bought that tilt over. I can just lay it on the ground, and it's got one of those NN4ZZ tilt plates on it, so the antenna itself comes down parallel to the ground, about 6 feet above the ground, and so no storm. I'll just tie those elements together with a rope, put apart or whatever they are, 14 inches, and lay it down. It'll be fine in the storm. We had 145 mile an hour sustained for 2.5 hours there at my house. Over.
Oh my God, what was that like?
Well, I wasn't here. I was in San Antonio having dinner at Papa Do's restaurant and looking at the satellite, actually the National Weather Service satellite, the GOES, G-O-E-S, GOES satellite, and I watched it come across St. Joe Island, which is the barrier island, at 5:30 in the afternoon, and I could see the eye right down through the middle of the storm, sitting in a restaurant. Over.
Oh, Jesus. And when you got back home, everything was all right?
Yeah, I tore up the yard and everything, and but it poor people in the town. I mean, the houses were just in, and not by water, just torn, ripped, all the motels, everything just ripped apart. We were protected in the trees, and we have a real strong house, but there's a lot of vacation homes down here. They were ripped apart. And the population is down 20%. I don't mind that. But a lot of people lost their jobs. All the nursing homes closed. And so it was really hard on the community. But people are resilient, and everybody pitched in, and everybody's coming back. So.
All right. I can imagine down there the Texans really rolling, you know, guys in the trucks and such, helping everybody else out. Down there, good community spirit down there. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what you come up with those poles and the loop and so forth. But I would move forward with that project. I wouldn't vacillate any or think too deeply about what else you could do, but what you originally planned on doing, because there's so much physical work. And then later on you can, those supports that you put up are going to be fun. You can experiment. You got pulleys on it. Or put a halyard on it, actually, a looper rope. In case the antenna breaks, you can recover the rope. But yeah, you'll be able to do experiments and try a whole bunch of different things, Tom. Over.
QSL, well, I'll do that. And I tell you what, I really appreciate the encouragement. I appreciate your knowledge. And like I said, I've seen the QRZ page before. I'm so glad we had this conversation, and I'm so excited. I'm going to go in there and call one of my friends
can tell it. I know why my dipoles are working so well, and I learned it from you. Over.
Well, we learned it together. We thought about it, and then we said, hey, wait a second, that thing's sloping. And you can't see the end of the wire unless you go to under the ground or go above it to see it. But yeah, if you keep on going more and more, you'll end up with a vertical, and you go halfway, you'll get like what they call a sloper, which is directive, and then I think that's the explanation. Hey, 73, send me an email anytime. I'd like to hear what you're doing down there, and hope to hear you here on 40 meters again here in the near future, Tom. K5SES, W1ZY.
RQSL, I tell you, I will be sending you a card. I'd like one to, because I'm only about four away from getting my WAS. But thanks for the QSO. Whiskey 1, Zulu Yankee, Kilo 5, Sierra, 73, Bill.
All right, 73, thanks for the spending time with me. I appreciate it. K5SES, W1ZY. W1ZY,
KF222.
All right, there's a fella looking for a signal report. Go ahead, over.
Yeah, roger that. The name here is Hugo, and the QTH is down here in Miami, Florida. And I'm just trying to see if you hear any RF in this audio.
No, I don't, Hugo, over.
Roger that. What's your TTH there?
I'm located in Rhode Island, southern Rhode Island, and my name is Bill. Bravo, India, Lima, Lima. I still don't have your call sign, Hugo. Over.
Roger that, Bill. The call sign is Kilo 7 Hotel Juliet Echo, K7HJ.
Kilo 7 Hotel Japan Echo, QSL?
QSL. So the audio sounds all right. I'm running the K3F here with the 1.3 expert.
Yeah, it sounds good. Were you having RF problems?
I don't know. I get on here with the audio gurus, and they're so picky. I don't know. It's hard to say on 80 meters, though, when it's noisy. It's pretty hard to do that.
All right. Well, if you really dig and listen to it, you can hear there's some kind of like a, it may not necessarily be RF in the audio, but like my audio is kind of rough. I can turn off stuff and kind of smooth it up a little bit. But there's a little bit of edge, which I assumed was processing going on. You go over.
Yeah, roger that. Well, I only got the compressor number 10 here, so it's not that high.
All right. Well, I've been making an audio recording. Let me turn my RF thing on. I've been making an audio recording for the last hour, and I'm going to post it up on an archive on the Internet when I'm done here. And it'll probably pop up there in a couple of days. It's got to get approved by people on this website. They listen to it, and then they pop it up. But there's a link to this archive on my QRZ page on the top. And if you're interested, you'll probably be able to find yourself in the recording and judge for yourself, Hugo. Over.
Roger that. Well, I got also a Flex 6600 here. It's too bad I don't have the report feature on this stinking radio. But it is what it is.
Yeah, you could also go up onto websdr.org and find a receiver where you can hear yourself and judge it that way, too. Over.
Roger that. But overall, you can understand. I'm totally, legend.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's no problem whatsoever. It's for my ears, it's fine. Over.
Roger that. All right, my friend. Thank you very much. K7HJ, South Florida.
73, let me log you in. W1 said what?
Kilo 5 Sierra Echo Sierra again.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
I just put the time on. Time off was 0124. I'm guessing about 0040. Is that all right?
I don't even log the time off, Tom. Over.
For the time on, 0040, about.
Oh, let me check. I'm waiting for I use QRZ. Let me check. 0021.
Okay, well, we were on quite a while. I'll put that on the card. Thanks a lot.
All right, have you ever checked out websdr.org on your big computer network, Tom?
No, say it again.
It's web, W-E-B, Whiskey Echo Bravo, Sugar Delta Radio .org. And there's a bunch of remote receivers. You can dial them up and listen to them in Europe, all over the place, including the U.S. and you can hear yourself. Like if I'm working DX, I think I have it on right now. Let me check on one of the tabs. It was I'm listening to the European one, and you can hear yourself. You can check propagation that way. Over.
Okay. Web SugarDeltaRadio.com?
No, web, Whiskey Echo Bravo, and then Sugar Delta Radio, SDR, like softwaredefinedradio.org. W-E-B-S as in Sam, D as in Delta, R as in radio.org. Over.
I got it. Well, I'll check that out. Thank you very much. Another piece of pearl there.
Yeah, it's awesome. You're going to love it. It's pretty cool. You can check yourself out. You don't even need a QSO. You can just dial up your frequency and see if you can hear yourself. Check the propagation. Hey, 73's W1 said what?
73. W1ZY, Whiskey Bravo Zero Hotel.
I got a Whiskey Bravo Zero Hotel something?
Yeah, Whiskey Bravo Zero Hotel America Tango. Hotel Alpha Tango Tablet Compact.
WB0HAT, W1 Zulu Yankee. Good to hear you coming through. You're up and down a little bit, but you're about an S7 to an S9 into southern Rhode Island. Over.
So I'll give you a 5 South Dakota. Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Oh, okay, South Dakota. That's an interesting one. I don't know, Tom, if you're still listening, but South Dakota is on right now. And what is your name out there, over?
Handle here is Randy Romeo America November December Yankee. And you know, I've had my work all safe on other bands, but I'm working on it on 40 meters. I just have Rhode Island on 40 meters. So. Here for about the last 2 or 3 people, and thought that, you know what, I think I'm going to jump in and say hi, though.
Yeah, there you go. And by so doing, you got Rhode Island. I do have cards over here, Randy. If you send me a card, I'll send one back to you. And, yeah, South Dakota and Rhode Island on the same frequency. That's pretty rare there, Randy. Over.
Does he need Florida, KF2GQ?
I think he might be all set on the Florida.
I'm at 72, my van is 73, and my extra at 83. And I know what you're saying. I've caused many a pile of them. Not so much anymore, but, you know, it's still happening from time to time. And I know you've experienced the same thing. I spent some time, a couple, 2-3 years living here.
In Newport, Randy, over.
Yeah, correct. Newport, Rhode Island, just wonderful. And a lot of people have nothing but fun. So I really enjoy being there. And you know what? Take advantage of my, you know, security clearance and having the type of equipment I worked on while I was in the Navy. And kind of at the last minute, I go, you know what, I'm kind of a South Dakota boy, and kind of wanted to get back home, and so move back here, and kind of the rest of the system is right.
Well, there you go. You picked a good state, ham radio-wise. Do you ever go into any of those worked all states nets and give them South Dakota as a contact?
You know, I haven't. And, you know, maybe I could sometime. I guess I just here recently got my work all state on FDA, which but no, I can't say that I've done that. You know, maybe just a second. I'm kind of multitasking here, which is a dangerous thing to do. I guess I hadn't even looked up any of them, so I haven't, don't even know which ones are checked into.
Yeah, I think there's one up on 7185 and so forth on 80 meters. I think the 3905 club, if I remember properly from, oh man, many years ago, over 45 years ago. Those guys have been around for a long time. Yeah, it's a thing that you would do if you're going to hang around with a radio and you got some paperwork to do or you're working on something. Because you got to keep an active ear listening. Instead of listening to the radio, FM radio, when you're doing something, you check into that thing and then give guys the contacts. I've done it a couple times, but it's a time commitment. You have to be sitting around. I remember doing it when I was younger and a teenager. It was fun to check in on 80 meters to 3905 and just check out the propagation and the different signals coming in and things that people can hear and then things they can't hear, and you can get a really good idea about the way the propagation works in general by doing that. I like listening to those nets just to check out how the propagation is stateside. And of course, when the band goes long and you got great propagation, they all say it's really bad. The bands stink because they can't hear stateside anymore. Everybody's got a different perspective. Whiskey Bravo Zero, Hotel Alpha Tango, W1 said what?
Whiskey 1-0 Yankees, Whiskey Bravo Zero, Hotel Alpha Tango. I'm familiar with the 3900 Club, but they meet on Sunday mornings, and they've been around for about as long, too, but they're not a baseball team like we're talking about. The trouble is, I won't have an 80-meter antenna up until this summer. We just recently, last summer,
stand by.
Here's 6161. So, about 10 years there. And after moving to this house, kind of a small city lot, and I was really concerned about the quality. Well, I worked on a whole bunch of different designs, all of them, you know, based on a long line of high scenario, and ended up with an off-center fed dipole. As I could go, the end of it, 120 degrees or shallower angle on the impact there, so I didn't butcher up my radiation pattern. And then I used all the glass push-up mask, guys with non-metallic cords. That I bought last year, and just running barefoot. But I got to tell you, that antenna has really performed for me. It's in a new configuration, and I really get out on the bands that it'll load up on just fine. If I use my external tuner, well, then I can pick up, 10 meters, 15 meters. So if I don't, then I got to, I'm kind of stuck to just 20 and 40 and. And 10 meters. Otherwise, I can do 30 meters and 17 and 15. It's kind of nice. But anyway, like I said, just kind of got back on the air. I'm going to keep the story here, but I'm kind of working on the computer side of trying to multitask. And I know you've been on the air for quite some time. So, Whiskey 1, Zulu Yankee, Whiskey Java Zero, Hotel Alpha Tango.
All right, WB0HAT, W1ZY, very good, 100% copy. Yeah, well, it's good to have you back on the air, and I'm glad that you went back to your home stomping grounds. That's what I did here. I was originally from here, and then traveled all over the place, and came back here a few years ago with aging parents to be close, but not too close. And we're kind of dragging our heels here in the salt marsh, which is a very, it's like living a dream. All right, 73s, and again, the 3905 Century Club, if you look it up on the internet, you'll probably run into those guys or get a lot of information on those guys, Randy. But it's always fun to do when you're a rare state like you to be a Mr. Popular for a night, H.I. 73s, and thank you for spending the time with me here tonight on 40. WB0HAT, W1, said what?
WF66 for Charlie Delta.
WB0HAT, 73. 73, is there a 6 in there or a 7 or something?
WF66 for Charlie Delta.
Okay, the J66 standby, the Kilo X-ray 7 again, over.
Kilo X-ray 7, KX7,
Kilo X-ray 7 Echo W1ZY. Good evening from Rhode Island, out here on the East Coast. My name is Bill. You're about a 57, 58 so far, over. Good, Ron. Again, you're 58 on that transmission, perfectly copyable from Arizona with the G5RV Junior, I guess they call it, the 40-meter G5RV, doing a nice job with the 100 watts, perfectly copyable. Out here, we're running about 500 watts, and the antenna is homemade phased verticals made out of aluminum tubing. I'm in the middle of Succotash Salt Marsh right here on the south coast of Rhode Island, right on the ocean front. A good signal coming through. Kilo X-ray 7 Echo W1 said what? Say that again about the horizontal rod, over.
Yeah, do you use for horizontal polarization, such as a dipole or something like that, over?
Are you asking me if I use horizontal antennas?
Yes, sir. Yes,
negative. Only, so far, only verticals for the last several years, Ron, over. Thank you, Ron, and I hope that you find a nice vertical to begin to experiment with the very interesting antennas, a different world from the horizontally oriented ones. And good signal back here, a perfect copy. Kilo X-ray 7 Echo W1ZY 73. There was a J66 Charlie Delta standing by. Are you still here? Over.
Yeah, Roger, on the phone. DMA, DMA, Charlie.
Okay, very good, Ian. Juliet 66, Charlie Delta, is that correct? All right, thank you. I got you logged properly. Yeah, you're about a 57, a 5 and 7 into southern Rhode Island. And again, you got the name correct as Bill Bravo, India Lima Lima. And we're running about 500 watts into two phased verticals, beaming southwest. And it's good copy on you. Juliet 66, Charlie Delta, W1, said what?
W1,
All right, very good. What is your antenna down there? What is your antenna, Ian? Over.
Okay, the antenna is a 300 GY antenna. It's a fan, like a fan dipole. It's a 300 GY antenna for 80 and for 40 rudder.
All right, well, it's working quite nicely for you. I can copy you, no problem. I don't know if the band's open up for you guys down there. It must be. Oh, my God, it's 9:45. I didn't know that. Incredible. All righty. Hey, 73s, we got to eat dinner. I've been on since 5 o'clock, and I didn't even notice that. Oh, actually, 6 o'clock. Hey, 73s, Juliet 66, Charlie Delta, W1, said what? Good evening.
Hotel 109, Tango Whiskey Kilo. What?
Hotel Baker 9, Tango Whiskey Kilo.
Hotel Bravo 9, Tango Whiskey Kilo. I just turned the antenna towards you. W1 said, why, you're 59, a beautiful signal, into Rhode Island. And my name is Bill. Bravo, India, Lima, Lima. Over.
Yes, okay, Bill, you're 5DB over 9, Switzerland. The name is Dennis, Delta Echo, November, India, Sierra, Dennis. Sorry, my English is not so good. Your call size is Whiskey 1, Zulu interrogation again.
Yokohama, last letter is Yankee, Yokohama, Denny, over.
Yes, okay, sorry, because when you're not codify with a letter, sometimes I not understand the English language. Okay, nice to be to your station this morning. It's 3:45 in the morning in the Switzerland, and 5DB over 9, you report. I used the mono delta loop antenna, a mono delta loop antenna for the 40 meter in the vertical polarization, and the peak to antenna is 24 meter of the cone, 24 meter of the cone. Back to you, Bill, Whiskey 1 Zulu Yankee, Hotel Bravo 9, Tango Whiskey Kilo.
All right, HB9TWK, W1 said, why? Beautiful to hear you coming through. Denny, you're peaking 10 dB over. You're 59, and then you go up to 10 dB over. So it's a beautiful signal. We're running 500 watts. The antenna is homemade, two verticals, two phased verticals, and we are right on the ocean in southern Rhode Island. And again, a beautiful signal coming through. Hotel Bravo 9, Tango Whiskey Kilo, W1 said what?
Yes, okay. Yes, when we make so much contact before in the 40 meter, but I think never in 80, but I'm not sure. Okay, Bill, have a good night. So many contact, and thank you to answer to my call. And next time in the frequency, Whiskey 1 Zulu Yankee, Hotel Bravo 9 Tango Whiskey Kilowatt. Bye-bye, Bill. Good night. Thank you for the nice contact.
All right. Thank you for spending time with me and for the many other QSOs before Dennis. 73's HB9TWK, W1 said what? Again?
This is Ian Bakke. I just wanted to know if Dennis was friendly. I would like to work and just change frequencies. Roger.
Is that Ian?
Roger.
Denny, HB9TWK, W1 said, why, are you still here? Over.
Yes, I am here.
There's a station in St. Lucia, Juliet 66, Charlie Delta. He would like to give you a call. Over.
Yes, I hear him. She can call him.
Go ahead, Ian.
Dennis, Hotel Bravo 9 at Tango Whiskey Kilo. Would you like just to shift on the frequency? I feel it's still on this one. If it's okay with you, Roger.
Yes, I can just change the report. Bill, he can wait just 1 minute. Juliet 66, give me your call size complete and my report. You 5x5, 55 in Switzerland.
Okay, Roger. Dennis, you are 5 and 8. Dennis, you are 5 and 8. I am Juliet 66, Charlie Delta. Juliet 66, Canada, Denmark. Roger.
Okay, Juliet 66, Charlie Delta. Repeat you 5.